Hey, welcome to Intentional Living Center. I'm Randy Carlson. The doors are open. If you're a parent of a teenager, even a younger one, or maybe even an adult son or daughter, and you struggle with disrespect, what is one thing that you found to be effective? You know what? Let me just say this as we get started. I have found often disrespectful kids learn that sometimes from parents who are also disrespectful. Ooh, ouch. You know, young adults, teenagers, maybe even school-age children, and disrespect in the home. You know, the disrespect is the opposite of respect. Dis, as we talked about the other day, is the resisting alternate force in life. And so instead of being respectful, it's disrespectful. And you know it. You feel it. You feel disrespect. And sometimes kids who are disrespectful have learned it in the home because they feel disrespected by their parents. And so one of the first things I'm going to share with you right out of the chute here as we get into hearing suggestions on things you have done to effectively and as godly parents deal with disrespect in your home. You don't fight fire with fire. You never use disrespectful comments from your kids to show disrespect back. In fact, in one of my books, I have a whole chapter called Active Respect. And active respect is the process whereby, because I say, because we respect you so much, son or daughter, because we respect the fact that you are an individual person and you are capable of showing respect, because we respect you so much, we're willing to hold you accountable for your disrespect, such as some privileges that are withdrawn, maybe some of the freedom. And now with technology, you know, you just don't have access to all the technology that we made available to you just because you think you ought to have it because you're alive in America and in the 21st century. You know, respect is something that's a two-way street. We'll give you respect and we expect it back in turn. And when that happens, we have to be intentional in the process, okay? So come join us. I'd love to hear how you're effectively dealing with disrespect from your child or your teen. 888-888-1717.
Something that I am doing intentional with my children, I have four of them, and my husband and I both work full-time, so we're pretty busy, lots of things going on, different ages, different sports, but when they are talking to me, I look them right in the eye. If I have to get down at their level, I do, but I make them feel that what they're saying is the most important thing going on at that moment. Hard to do. I got a couple talkers, but I know that makes them feel good. And growing up, I didn't quite get that. And so I make a point to listen to my children and let them know I'm listening.
All right, good. That's one way of doing it. You listen to your kids. You know, the Bible says to be swift listeners, which means paying attention. One of the ways that we can deal with disrespect is making sure that we're showing respect by listening to our kids. And making it clear to our kids, listen, you can share with me whatever you're upset about, whatever you're concerned about, whatever you don't disagree with me about. I'm happy to talk to you about it. But when you get disrespectful, you know, we're kind of at the end of the rope right there. I can't just sit here and take that. Go cool down. We'll come back and talk later. But dropping into the mode of becoming disrespectful with a disrespectful kid is just not effective. All right. Letitia is on the line. Let's find out how she handles a 16-year-old daughter. Can be disrespectful. Hi, Letitia.
Hello.
Hi there. How are you doing?
I'm okay.
What are you wrestling with?
Well, I have my 16-year-old daughter, and her daughter and me are not together, and I think she tries to take advantage of that situation.
Mm-hmm. So she plays one. She plays one parent against the other.
No, it's not like that. It's like I was commenting, she's been asking for a tattoo and a pierce on her tongue, and then so she said, so I tell her, your dad's not going to like it, and then she said, well, he don't need to know.
Oh.
And she knows it's not right, but she still wants to do it.
Yeah, sure. And so do you and dad agree?
No, he doesn't want that. And a lot of the things...
No, wait a minute. Do you and your husband agree? Do you agree that she shouldn't have this?
Yes.
Okay, so you guys are in agreement.
Yes.
But he doesn't know that she wants to do this.
He knows because he knows what she likes, and he knows, but I think most of it she tries to get his attention.
Uh-huh, sure.
And so I think lately she mostly wants attention.
Yeah, and so she, yeah. And unfortunately, that's not the kind of attention I think a 16-year-old should be looking for in this day and age. Letitia, listen, you and your husband are in agreement. You don't want her to do this.
No.
Do you have a good relationship with your daughter? You and dad?
Well, him and me, my husband and me are in a situation right now where we're not together and we argue sometimes.
Okay, and so you're separated.
So I think and I think that's why she's acting this way.
Sure.
So,
Well, you and your husband talk, and you do agree. I think what's really important, Letitia, I mean, I'm sorry you guys are separated. It makes it more difficult. And for a 16-year-old, you know, very likely you've touched on it. She's trying to get attention, and it's her way of, you know, showing, acting out. But a lot of 16-year-olds want tattoos today. It's a big deal these days. Piercings and all that kind of thing. It seems to me that you and your husband, mom and dad, need to sit down with your daughter and just say, honey, we love you. Stuff going on between the two of us is our stuff. It's adult stuff. We love you and we care for you. But listen, when you're 18 years old, you can pierce anything you want, tattoo anything you want. It's your decision. But we don't want that. You're 16 years old. You're going to change your mind on a lot of things. There's a lot of people that 2 or 3 years later say, hey, I wouldn't have done it now if I knew now what I knew then, what I know now. And so when you're 18 years old and you've graduated from high school and you're on your own, you can do those things. But here, while you're 16 in our home, we don't want you to do that. That's something we don't want you to do. And now, not every parent agree with that. That's where I would come down. If you and your husband stand in agreement, it's going to be much better with your daughter than disagreement.
Okay. I'm just worried about her, how she's acting, because I know I've put a lot of attention in trying to get a relationship together, get together again. But then I think I've kind of put her on the side, and I think that's my mistake. So I've been trying to focus on her more.
Well, Letitia, listen, I'm sorry you guys are going through this separation. I hope that, and I pray that the two of you can restore this relationship and stand together as a team. That's the way God intends for it to be. Anything other than that is more difficult, obviously. It can work, but it's more difficult. And so a 16-year-old can be difficult in any number of situations. But the two of you in agreement, praying together, getting some counseling together, and coming up with a game plan, letting her speak her piece and what's going on in her life. But you guys are the parents, and you need to make sure you hold her accountable in a way that's loving and consistent.
Hi, this is Dr. Kevin Lehman with advice on how you can become an intentional parent. One of the battlegrounds for many kids and parents is church attendance. When a kid gets to a certain age, they are feeling their oats and feel like they can just look mom and dad in the eye and say, I'm not going to that church anymore. Well, what's a parent to do? What do you do with a 12, 13-year-old kid who says, I don't want to go to church anymore? Well, there's a couple ways you can do it. You can look them straight in the eye and say, honey, listen, I know you don't like church. I appreciate what you said about the pastor's message just last Sunday. I didn't care for it either. But I'll tell you the truth, as a family, we don't ask you to do a lot of things in life, do we? But going to church is one of those things. So with all due respect, get ready. We have to leave in about 20 minutes. Now, that's one way of handling it. There's another way of handling it, and that is, hey, don't even wake them up. Don't even wake them up. Go to church some Sunday. Make it a day. Come home at 5 o'clock. Oh, my goodness, what's going to happen when you come through the door? Where you been? Where you been? Been at church. Church! Church is over at noon. It's 5 o'clock. When are we going to eat around here? I'm starved. Oh, that strawberry pie just finished me off. Don't even mention food. Don't even mention food. See, there's more than one way to skin the proverbial cat, isn't it? But you know what? The bottom line is, you can make your kids go to church. But you can do it in a fun way as well. Jesus never beat anybody over the head. So don't pick off where he left off.
Talking about the disrespect today in our homes, and when we have disrespectful kids, just take a gut check about yourself. Are you showing respect to your kids? What are things that we can do to be disrespectful to our children? We can ignore their complaints. We cannot listen to them. Of course, we can yell. There's obvious things that we know are disrespectful, lashing out, being punitive. But sometimes it's a subtlety of disrespect, of ignoring, playing down, blowing off what their concerns are, not being interested in the things that they're interested in. And to the extent that we show respect to our kids, you know, we should expect respect coming back. And if not, then we need to change how we respond, don't we? All right, Diane, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Appreciate your call. What's your question today?
My question of it is I have a five-year-old who's very argumentative with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I probably, you know, play along with her sometimes because I yell at her because I've tried everything. I've taken the TV away. I've taken all electronics away. And sometimes I even give her a timeout. But it's just that she thinks she knows a lot. And I know she's young.
Yeah, she's 5 years old.
Right, but the thing of it is I don't want to yell at her, you know, because I know I'm probably disrespecting mm-hmm. her just as much as she's disrespecting me.
Yeah, and that's good insight. Did you grow up that way? Did your mom, did your dad find yelling in the home you grew up in?
No, uh-huh. I grew up in a pastoral family.
Well, they can also be yellers, too. I've experienced that. But, Diane, listen, here's a couple things. I hear parents regularly saying, I've tried everything, or I'm trying everything. Like, I keep pushing a button until I find the solution. And we got to come back to what the Bible teaches, that we as parents are given the role to be disciplinarians. And the word discipline comes from the idea of training, a disciple, a trainer, one who's going to instruct and love and nurture. And so my encouragement to you is you're going to have to find a way not to scream at your five-year-old. That is disrespectful behavior, and she's going to pick up on that. And I don't know if you have to count to 10, walk around the house, lock yourself in the bathroom for 5 minutes and calm down, but you come up with a strategy so you don't have to yell. And with a five-year-old, listen, there's a scripture in Ecclesiastes that says the quiet words of the wise are more to be heeded than the shouts of a ruler of fools. And I'm not sure that was a parenting verse, but I always apply it to parenting because I think often when we don't know what else to do, we raise our volume as though by raising our volume, we're going to be more effective. Well, we are in a short term. You know, we can sometimes get the response and results we want for a very short period of time, but long term is not effective. So I want you to hang on, Diane. I want to send you the resource from our center that we share with parents all around the country called Raising a Responsible Adult. It's a book and a study that'll give you the principles that we teach. But just as an overview, one of the things you have to do as a parent is parent up and power down, meaning you have to cut the power level in your own life, not yelling, not screaming, not being punitive, not lashing out, and then coming up with a consistent game plan and sticking with it. When a five-year-old, for instance, is getting disrespectful, it's fine to take her and place her in her room and say, when you're worked, whatever it is that you're worked out, come on out. You can come and rejoin the family. But that's not something we're going to do here around the dinner table tonight. If you want to be disrespectful at dinner, I guess you don't want to eat tonight. That's fine. You can come back for breakfast. In other words, holding your child accountable without having to raise your voice. You know, we have one of the things we talk about is you never have to yell again if you choose to be intentional as a parent. We believe that. Hang on. Sally's going to get your address. We're going to send you Raising a Responsible Adult. As we're talking about love habits of couples living on purpose, if they have children, they get on the same page in parenting. This is a really big deal. What I wrote down here, after I thought about it, is parenting and some of these major issues in our life, our faith and in other areas, it elevates and reveals our expectations. And you've heard me talk about expectations minus reality equals disappointment. That is a life formula for everything. And in marriage, when we have kids and we're raising our kids, but we're not on the same page with how we want to raise them, and there's tension in that, you know, in that area, it creates this expectation problem. Because the expectation is we're going to be on the same page. And when those things are not met, that creates tension in the marriage. Boy, listen, I go on to expand the power of getting on the same page in marriage with your kids. We're talking about love habits this month. Members, thank you for your support. The teaching is on its way to you in CD form. And thank you for your support in this month. The love habits, you know, of couples that are living intentionally, living on purpose. And you just heard a clip from one of the 10. If you're not a member, come and join us today. Love to have you be a part of the team. I'll tell you what, here's what's going to happen. if you'll share a gift this month and say, count me in, I want to be a part of the ministry every month, we're going to make sure that you receive this teaching. It'll come to you on CD right to your home or wherever you're at, the address you give us, and to say thank you. And then each and every month thereafter, a brand new teaching on very relevant, important topics related to your life. And by the way, when you share a gift this month, if you an additional gift if you're a member or joining us as a member, and if you ask for it, we have this Love Your Marriage Night entire conference on DVD that we'll send to you as well. Ask for it when you're there at the website. Go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. You know, we've been talking about kids that don't respect in the family. Maybe you have children that show a lot of disrespect. One of the things that we teach, and you hear even on today's program, is that while obedience is something that's commanded, it's biblical, that's what God expects of us, respect is frankly something we need to earn. And if we don't respect ourselves enough as a parent to throttle back, as I say, to, you know, to parent up and power down, maybe not yelling, not doing the things that can cause your children to show disrespect to you, then you're going to be in a better place down the road. So as we're going through this thing about respect with your little kids or even with your adults, one of the things I write about in the book Starved for Affection is about active respect, being respectful enough of yourself and of that person, no matter what their age, that you're willing to hold them accountable in a loving but intentional way. All right. Hey, listen, we're going to continue on with the program. If you have a comment today, want to join in with that, share it at 888-888-1717. Or if you go to theintentionallife.com, it's there that you can join in support of the ministry today. Or to call 888-888-1717 and press number 4. And God bless you. Thank you for your support.
Honey, can you run a couple of errands for me?
Where?
The pharmacy, the deli, and the car needs gas.
I don't know.
What do you mean?
That's a lot of places to go. Across town, through town, around town. I wish things were more like the Intentional Living mobile app.
Now I'm really confused.
It's everything Intentional Living, all in one place. I downloaded it from my app store, and it's got links to web resources, podcasts, shortcuts to Intentional Living on Facebook and Instagram.
That's great! Let me look at your phone while you run those errands, hmm?
You need this to keep perspective in your marriage. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Minute. You know that one thing that will help you keep perspective? It's awareness of the limitation on the number of days that we have on this planet. It says in Psalm 90 verse 12 that we are to number our days that we may have a heart after wisdom. And when we understand that life, you know, there's an end coming and we're going to move into eternity to be with Jesus forever. But while we're here, we need to be very present with those that we love, to be aware of what's going on around us and in the lives of those that we care for, and to be engaged moment by moment in the world of those that are loved by us and those that we love. So here's one thing, slow down and be fully present with your spouse sometime today. When you do that, that's intentional living.
For more information and inspiration, go to theintentionallife.com.
Remember when tying a string around your finger helped remind you of something? Well, it's not a thing anymore since that one guy ruined it for the rest of us.
That's really tight. I can't feel my finger anymore. Help!
That's why at the Intentional Living Store, you can get your own wristband. It's a physical reminder that the intentional life is lived one right thing at a time. And when you use that wristband, the Power of One Thing book, and the free online Intentional One Thing Challenge, you'll go from good intentions to developing transformational habits. The Intentional Living Store at theintentionallife.com.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. One of the great ministries that we have here at the Intentional Living Center is our prayer community. We have people from literally all around the world who pray for each other. So if you need prayer or if you want to pray for others, join today at theintentionallife.com/prayer. Randy.
All right, that's good advice. Thank you, Kurt, for that reminder. A couple other things. People are on Facebook talking about, this is the hardest thing that I face as a parent. How do I deal with a 9-year-old disrespectful child? I don't know how to handle this situation. Just when you're in the middle of it, like any battle in life, it's fluid and it changes, and every person has got unique individual differences, and we understand that. And there's no cookie cutter approach to this thing of dealing with disrespect, but there are principles to follow. And we've tried to teach these in two resources. One is the Parenting Challenge book and a study guide that you can get through our bookstore at theintentionallife.com. Also, when you're at the website, if you go to the Inspiration tab, there's tabs across the top. The second one over is Inspiration, and drop down to the Intentionals for Parents. And we've sent out thousands of people who have downloaded these 10 things, the top 10 list for parenting. They're very practical, principle-driven, biblically-driven principles for being intentional and raising your kids. And I think when it comes to disrespect, you may face it with one child and maybe not with another. But that shouldn't change your overall approach to parenting. You still stick to your guns. You still stay intentional. You still stay focused. And you do the next right one thing. And we give you the principles in the studies that are available for you there. All right, Dolores is in New Mexico. Hi there, Dolores. Welcome to the program today.
Hello?
Hi there. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes. Yeah, I was just wondering, how do you handle a 15-year-old that's very disrespectful towards her mom and her grandmother? I am the grandmother, and she's just very disrespectful all the time. What do you do?
Well, what you don't do is show disrespect back. I think there's a tendency with a 15-year-old, they're trying through their power play and their disrespect to control you and get you to do what they want you to do. And if you lash back, I tell parents it's very ineffective to fight fire with fire, except in a forest fire. And then, even then, it's very strategic and it's very intentional. It's not just lashing out. And so as a parent, when you've got an on-fire, disrespectful 15-year-old, it's perfectly all right to sit down with them at a cool moment. Mom should take the lead and say, honey, I love you, but listen, you know, let's talk about what's going on in the family here. What's happening? And she may express some things she's upset about. Don't lash back. Let her share what she's feeling. There may be some things that have to be changed in the home, some communication style. There might be some reasonable things that she's concerned about to show respect to her that you care about her. But when you're done with that discussion and you've talked through some things and maybe resolved some things, you make it clear that disrespect is not something that we can show in this home. I can't show it to you. You can't show it to me. And when we do, it's got to stop. When I'm disrespectful, I should be held accountable as a parent. Think of it. As a parent, do we ever hold ourselves accountable for the disrespect we show to our kids? Maybe we need to let our kids know that we'll hold ourselves accountable as well. But when you're disrespectful to me, 15-year-old, there's going to be a consequence. You know, you got driver's ed coming up and driver's license, and, you know, disrespectful kids are not kids that are going to drive my car and be on my insurance policy. There are things that we're going to do to hold our children accountable. And I think if we don't have a respectful conversation with our 15-year-old in a setting where they can talk about what they're feeling, I think we're never going to get it solved. Can you do that?
Yes, I can tell her mom to do that. Actually, she's tried doing that before, but it's still not working. So I think they're going to take some counseling.
That's good. But I'll tell you, at the end of the day, a counselor will probably tell you the same thing. You've got to be consistent. You got to show respect to your kids, but then there's got to be limits. Kids need to know that if they're disrespectful in the real world, in the working world, and in relationships or in their marriage and work and whatever in the future, that's not going to be tolerated. That's just not the way life works. Showing disrespect at home is something that has got to be nipped in the bud. Okay, let me see. I got a question here. Kelly, I only have a minute, but what's your question in New Mexico?
Hi. I just would like to know, how do I incorporate prayer and God when I'm disciplining my disrespectful 7-year-old?
Well, I think it's a good idea maybe to pray and prepare yourself before you do discipline. You know, I think sometimes we're not prepared ourselves as parents. And I think after we've followed through and the child's been held accountable through some form of discipline that's appropriate in the home, I think it's appropriate to pray with your kids at that point. What I don't think parents should be doing is pointing the finger in their kid's face and saying, God isn't happy with you and neither am I. You know, I think in the long run, that's not effective, and I think it's hurtful. So praying, yeah, absolutely. I think it's a starting point in any disciplined life.
I work in juvenile corrections, and the language situation there is anything but good. But the boys know that I'm a Christian, so therefore they keep me on my toes not to use improper language, because if they even think I'd use a word that's not proper, they will check me right away, because they'll say, Mrs. H, you didn't say that, did you? And so that keeps me on my toes, so that even when sometimes I would like to say things I shouldn't, I don't, because I know how it will affect my ministry to the boys. Thank you.
Good for you. Hey, you know, we've been talking about respect today and the power of respect. And the Bible talks about respect. You know, it says that husbands love your wives and wives respect or reverence your husband. Respect is an important part of a relationship. In fact, we need to respect our children enough to hold them accountable. And also, you know, respect our children enough not to jump in and do for them things that they can do for themselves, because that can be an act of disrespect as well. And I was thinking, as we've been going through the program today, we live in a very disrespecting culture today. And frankly, it comes from the top. We see it right from our nation's capital. We see it right through not only politics, but we see it just everywhere. It seems like it's almost a free-for-all to show disrespect to each other, to different people groups and people in different situations and different worldviews and so on. And that never was God's intention. And so my heart goes out in a lot of loving but intentional way to parents today, as you have a culture that's a disrespecting culture. And so more than ever, we need to have respect on steroids in our home, where we're really teaching and showing what respect is all about. Respect is something that's a beautiful part of loving relationships in our home and our marriage and our families. So I hope you'll think about respect today. And by the way, if you're interested in reading about respect, as it has to do with marriage in particular, you heard me mention the book Starve for Affection. That book is available in our bookstore. And chapter 8 is all about active respect in life and in marriage. So you might want to check that out when you go to theintentionallife.com. All right, we'd invite your stories today. Maybe you've related to something you've heard, or maybe you have a question that you would like me to address and have others join in with you to answer or discuss on an upcoming program. Call and share it with us on our storyline. Go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. And you can interact with us there. Or if you want to leave a voice, a message, just go 888-888-1717 on the phone and then press number 2. That'll take you to our storyline, okay? 888-888-1717. Been a good day today. Thanks for all your comments. I'm Randy Carlson. For Stephen and Rob and the rest of the team, God bless you. We'll see you next time from Intentional Living.